The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Yomah has been dedicated in memory of Mazal Bat Esther Baghdadi and Yosef Ben Mazal Baghdadi by their family. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf has been dedicated by North Fork Bank and its private banking department with Gabriel Safti. Hashem Yishmerehu V'Hayehu. We would like to thank North Fork Bank and urge our listeners to patronize this generous financial institution. On a private note, we'd like to thank Mr. Gabriel Safti for his continued support for all our programs here at Daf Yomi, Torah Learning Resources, and the Torah Center. Teskele Mitzvot. Today's Daf has been dedicated in memory of Yosef ben Mazal and Shlomo Rafael ben Mazal. Ruach Hashem Tanihem began Eden. Amen. Daf Lamidhe. Today's daf has been dedicated le'inu nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tenichenu began Eden. Amen. We are beginning today's daf on Lamidhe Amud Rishon on the top line. We learned in the previous Mishnah that the second tevilah that the Kohen Gadol did on Yom Kippur was in an area called Lishkat Beit Parva. And that was an area that was in the Kodesh. There was a mikveh built on top of that chamber. So the Gemara says, "My parva." Why was the chamber called Lishkat Parva? Amar of Yosef, Parva Amgusha. Parva was the name of a person who was an Amgusha. What is an Amgusha? Rashi says, "Mechashef Echad Bena'a Ushmo Parva." It was a mechashef, a sorcerer, that built it. So that's the way Rashi says. The Rosh says that he was a Jewish man, because if he was a Nochri, if he was a Goy, they would not allow a Goy to build any of the chambers of the Beit HaMikdash. The Me'iri asks, how would they name the Lishka after a sorcerer? I mean, Kishuv obviously is Asur. So the Me'iri says that we're forced to say that they must have named him or named the Lishka after he made Teshuvah. The Tosafot Yom Tov's question is, how did they allow a sorcerer to build any part of the Beit HaMikdash? True, he wasn't a Goy, but even a sorcerer. So the Tiferet Yisrael explains, it really was not built Al Yedei Kishuv, but it had such a stunning architectural trick to it that it looked like it was built Al Yedei Kishuv. Because if you remember, the mikveh was on the roof. So he built piping in the walls in order to get the water to go up to the roof. So it looked like it was built b'kishuf. It must have been a modern piping system, which was not so common. So therefore, it had the image that it was done ayedei kishuf. Now the Tosafot on our daf, Parva Amgusha, Piresh Be'aruch Vezeh Lishono. The Aruch explained, יש מן החכמים שאומרים כי חפר מחילה תחת קרקע בקודש. That this guy, Parva, built a tunnel underneath the ground of the Beit HaMikdash, in the area, עד שיראה עבודת כהן גדול, in order that he can spy on the עבודה of the כהן גדול. והרגישו הכהנים בחפירה, so the כהנים realized this underground tunnel that he built, ומסעו, and they found him. The Ritva brings down that when they found him, they actually killed him. Vekara ota lishka al shemo, and then they named the lishka, the chamber that I guess he was spying on, that area, they named it after him. So the Siach Yitzhak asks, says, what's the pshat that they named it after him? He was a rasha, this guy. The guy was spying on the Kohanim from an underground tunnel. So he says, "Lema'an yishmiru v'yira'u she'asur la'asot ke'ma'aseh she'aseh azeh." In order to remind everybody, this is called the Shkat Parva. This is the place where we killed, this guy, Parva, for spying on the Kohanim, and therefore it'll be a lesson for others not to engage in such behavior. So that's the story of the Shkat Parva. Comes the Gemara and says, "Parasu sadin shelbutz." So they hung a curtain made out of linen to separate between the Kohen and the people so they don't see him when he goes into the mikveh. So the Gemara says, "My shena shel boots." We had this Gemara earlier. Why did they choose a linen garment? Amar of Kana, kadesh yakir shavudat hayom the big day boots, in order that the Kohen should remember, be reminded that today he works not only with big day zahav, but he also works with big day lavan, which are made out of linen. So it was more of a reminder for the Kohen gadol. Bashachar ayah lovesh flusin shes munasar. So we said according to the Chachamim, in the morning, the Bigdei Lavan, the first time he wore them, they were 18 maneh. And in the afternoon, when he would wear the Bigdei Lavan a second time, in order to take out the shovel, the machtah from the Kodesh Kodashim, they were 12. So the Mishnah then gives us the sum total. And altogether, the clothes of the Kohen Gadol, between the morning clothes and the afternoon clothes, were 30 maneh. So the Gemara asks, V'tana minyana ata lashmi'inan. Well, the Tana is coming to teach us numbers, but we forgot how to count. But she says, "Tanya minyanata lashmeina dektani hakol shloshim maneh, v'chi'en anu yudaim sheshmona asar v'shnem asar are shloshim." But we don't know that 18 plus 12 is 30. What's the purpose of the Gemara? So the Gemara says, "Hadushes hakamash malan debatzir mehaneh lo na'abid." It's coming to tell us that you're not allowed to make garments that are subtotally less than 30, which means those are the minimum shi'ud. However, ha'ibatzir mehaneh v'tafeh ahaneh letlamba. However, if you make the clothes less, which means less than 18 on the morning clothes, v'tafeh ahaneh, or more than 12 in the afternoon clothes, letlamba. So long as you get to 30, in the subtotal of the Begadim, you're okay. So it's telling you 30, that is the minimum shi'ud of the Begadim. Split it up however you want. Which is, even if you would do, let's say, you did less than 18. You did 16 and 14 for the Begadim, so you're okay as well. Look at Rashi. Hakamash ma'lan, le'aki adar chaylinu. That's why the Mishnah gave us the total number, lashmi'ina, to teach us. Deha deshloshim maneh sacha kolu diyahiv shi'ura lito min ha'ekdesh. Which means we're giving you the sum total that you would take from the hekdesh for the garments. Ubatzir mishloshim maneh lo de'avid sacha kol. Don't make the garments less than 30 altogether. Ha, ibatzir maneh deshacharit moshmona asar. If you want to make the morning garments less than 18, v'tfe ahaneh da'arbit Mishnem Asad letlamba. Nothing, no problem. Just make sure that at least it equals to the shiur of 30. And that's the idush of the Mishnah. Okay, comes the Mefarshim and say, where did we get the shiur of 30? So the Gevorot Ari says, it is indeed a halakha le Moshe Mesinai. There's a sefer called Kiryat Sefer, and he says that the halakha Moshe Mishinai was that the begadim have to be hashuvim because of the kavod ayom, because of the kapara that they allow. And therefore the hachamim gave the shiur of 30. So therefore it's a machloket if the halakha Moshe Mishinai was actually 30, the halakha just says have to be begadim hashuvim, and the rabbis then came and gave the shiur. Okay, comes the Gemara and continues. Everybody holds Ben Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah and Ben Hakamim that the morning garments are more expensive than the afternoon garments. So the Gemara says, Minalan. How do we know that? Why is the morning ones more expensive? Amar Avuna Bered Rav Ilai Amar Kera Bad 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 Mufhar Bebad. So that she says, when the Kohen gets dressed in the Shachrit, it says the word bad 4 times in the Pasuk. She's the repetition of the word bad 4 times tells me it's the bad of the bad, meaning the best of the best of the bad. What is the Pasuk? So the Pasuk says, I'll quote you the pasuk: Ketonet bad kodesh yilbash, umichnese bad yehu al besaro, ubabnet bad yagor, ubmitznefet bad yitznof. Big day kodesh em verachatz b'maimet besrol besham. Now look at the bottom tosafot: bad, 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 bad. Nereli had legufe. The first bad teaches me they have to be linen. Vehad bad lashon levad, but the second bad is lashon levad, meaning alone. She'en lovish amahem begde zahav kederek shu osay kol yom otashana. Means the second bad is like levad. You only wear these garments without any mixture of the gold garments. Ubad shilishi domar yoter tov mibad shashari otashana. The third bad tells me they have to be a better quality than all year longs. And the fourth bad teaches me that it has to be even better than the ones that he's going to wear in Arbit, meaning in the afternoon. So that's the way Tosafot explains the four bads. That's what Rashi learned as well. It's really being Doresh the third and the fourth one. Bad, bad, the best of the bad. Metibe, the Gemara asks a question. The question actually comes from a pasuk in Yechezkel, and the pasuk says, "Velaveshu begadim achirim." This is referring to the Kohanim. They will wear other garments. Velo yekadeshu etaram bebigdehem, and they will not sanctify the nation with their garments. So let's see Rashi over here to explain us what the context of this pasuk in Yechezkel was. So we start on the top line. Metive velaveshu begadim acharim velo galsinan vekarvu el asher la'am dahu kera lo gebeshirut ketiv ela gabe begadim she'achlu bem velo afshar lokmim biyom kipurim ela mehakera motiv. Okay, second line. That's where we're starting. Ela mehakera ketiv. We're starting from motiv. We're starting from this. We're asking from this pasuk. Upsetam el hatzer achitzona. It says when the Kohanim will go out to the outer courtyard, the ika leuk maybe yom kippurim. This pasuk was referring to the Kohanim on Kippur. Tichtiv le'el mine vayab bevoam l'shari ha'tzer ha'pinimit. Because it says in that context of that pasuk that they're going into the inner chamber. That's already the Kodesh. Ve'lo ya'ale aleihem tzemer. And it says clearly when they go in the inner chamber, they do not wear wool. Habadai b'yom kippurim ketiv. It's got to be talking about Kippur. De'i b'shar yimot ha'shana ha'ika mi'il dechule techelet. The mi'il that the Kohen Gadol wears is all techelet, it's all wool. So if the pasuk is saying he's not going to wear wool, so obviously we know we're talking about Kippur. Ve'choshen ve'efod it betechelet. Ve'choshen ve'efod also has wool. Ve'chetiv batre, it says, u'psetam le'hatzer ha'ishona, this is when they come out from the outer chamber, yivshetu et begdehem, take off their clothes, velaveshu begadim achirim, they will wear other clothes. Vekatz lekad atach da'achi kamar, u'kshiyazor v'yikanes sham ben arbaim. We're assuming the pasuk is telling us like this: when the Kohanim go back into the Kodesh, Kodashim, in the afternoon to take out the mahta, velavash begde bad achirim. When it says in the pasuk they will wear other garments, it's mashma they will wear different white garments than from what they wore in the morning. Ve'lo et rishonim u'mishum de'lo ramza Moshe be'oraita. Now, since it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that the Kohen wears the white garments going back in to the Kodesh Kodashim, so therefore, ve'lcheta v'gemirila, it's only halakha Moshe m'Sinai, ata yechezkel v'asmeche akra. So therefore, Yechezkel mentioned in the pasuk, which Rashi is discussing. Why is Yechezkel discussing what type of garments the Kohen wore when he went back into the Kodesh Kodashim? So the Rashi tells us, because really in the Torah it only tells us that in Shacharit he wears the big debad. It doesn't tell us that in the afternoon he wears the big debad. So Yechezkel is giving us an explicit pasuk, trying to tell us that he did wear it as well in the afternoon, and we know that from Halakah Moshe M'Sinai. Yechezkel just put it in the pasukim. Ve'lo yekadeshu et ha'am dechtiv besefa. Now, when it says at the end of the pasuk, and they will not sanctify the ha'am, milta achariti u'kshiyitarebu im ha'am yibeshu begdechol. It means when they, at the end of the day, when they socialize with the people, then they just wear their begdechol. They don't wear their holy garments. But for our purposes, we see what? When it says, ve'labeshu begadim acharim, we're assuming at this point the begadim acharim are more expensive. That's why the Gemara is asking a question. So the Gemara says, "But Abishu b'kedim acharim, lo yikadishu etam b'kedim. My love, acharim hashuvim him." At the Hava, I mean, the Gemara thinks that they're more hashuv. That goes against what we learned in our Mishnah. The Gemara says, "No, acharim pe'utim him. No, acharim are less expensive." So the Ritba asks over here. Well, first of all, how do we know that Ba says we're talking about Bigdei Pishtam? That we're talking about that he wears when he takes out the cap? So does she really answer this as well? And Ba gives the same answer, that since Yehezkel is not going to tell us something that's Bifirush written in the Torah, he must be coming to tell us something that's not explicitly written. And what's not explicitly written is that when he goes to take the cap out, he wears the Bigdei Lavan. So that must be what Yehezkel was talking about. Then Ba says, how do you know in the Hava Amina that they were Hashuvim? The Gemara says, oh, it's a begadim ahirim. Must be they're more expensive. Why would you think like that? So he says that since he's going into the Kodesh Kodashim, it would make sense based on the principle of Ma'alim Bakodesh Ve'en Moridin. Yeah, he went in the first time, he was wearing a certain level garment. You're not going to wear a lower level the next time. So therefore, the Rabbi even goes on to say, what did he see in the Kodesh Kodeshim the first time that he's lowering the status of his garments? It would be like a genai to the Kodesh Kodeshim, as if the first time he wore the Hashuv ones. Anyway, what did he see in the Kodesh Kodeshim that now he's coming in the second time and wearing something less? So then the Gemara says, lo, pehutin mehem. So the Rabbi says, even though there's a sevarat to say that he should wear Hashuvim, there is a sevarat to say you should wear pehutim. Why? Based on the principle of begadim shemazag baem kosle rabo, lo yisrek baem kedim shulchan rabo. Which is the same garments that you served, that you poured your master wine. You don't wear those same garments when you're cleaning or when you're doing you know, other labors. So here, when you went into the kodesh kodashim to bring in the ketoret, he wears the hashuv garments. So it's not proper to wear the same hashuv garments to clean out the Kodesh Kodashim. Because the second time he goes into the Kodesh, he's just taking out the machta. It's siluk. So therefore, the sevarah would say it should be less. Because you don't want to give the same madrega of service when you bring it in the ketoret to just cleaning up the table afterwards. Like we see in the Gemara, begadim shebishel b'em kedera, the clothes that you wore cooking, you don't use those same clothes to serve your master. So that would be the sevara of the Havamina and the Maskana. Comes the Gemara and says, Tani Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Ve'amri Rav Shemuel Bar Yehuda Achar Shekalta Avodat Sibur Bahem. I'm sorry, Achar Shekalta Avodat Sibur, after the Kohen finishes the Avodat Sibur, meaning the korbanot sibur of the day of Kippur, kohen she'asta lo imo ketonet, if the mother of a kohen makes for her son a ketonet, lofsha, he's able to wear it, ve'oved ba avodat yahid, and he's allowed to wear it and do the private service in the Beit HaMikdash. What is the private service? So that she says, avodat yahid. Actually, we should read the Rashi before that. Lo pechotin me. When the Gemara says no, the pechotin, Rashi just says lefi she'avodah rishonah hashuvah umchaperet. The first avodah brings atonement by bringing the ketoret inside. Vezu ena el lefanot et hamakom she'en kavod shemunachim sham lefi cheshina katub begadim lefachot. So Rashi gives a little more sevara. He says the first one's atone, and the second one is really just cleaning up. That's why there are less. Next Rashi, avodat yachid, hotzaat kaf u'machta, taking out the kaf and the machta, that would be the shovel with the ketoret, the coals, she'ena tzricha lesibur, that's not considered avodat sibur, ela lefi shemutelet alav lefanot et hamakom. It's the Kohen's job to clean out the Kodesh Kodashim. Lefichah korel avodat yachid. It's called avodat yachid because it's nothing to do with the Sibur. It's not an atonement for the Sibur. So the Hiddush is that if the Kohen's mother would make a ketonet, he could wear it for avodat yachid. But Gemara says, so long as ubevad shim serena le Sibur. So long as the Kohen, he must hand it over or give it over to the Sibur. Which means it must come from the Sibur. So therefore, he cannot wear private stuff. So he has to, let's say, give it over to the public treasury, and now he's able to wear it. Gemara says, Peshita. What do you mean? Of course. Why shouldn't I think a Kohen that his mother makes him a ketonet, why shouldn't I think he could wear it, as long as he gives it off to the Sibur? Gemara says, Ma'o detem anihush sheme lo yimserena yafe yafe. And I might suspect he might not give it over wholeheartedly. Kamash ma'alan? That no, we don't suspect that to the Kohen Gadol. Now the Tosafot says, what do you mean? In another Gemara, in Baba Metziah, we do see that when it comes to having to give something over to the Sibur, we do suspect. So why are we here by the Kohanim? We don't. So Tosafot says the Sevara, he says, Anan sa'adeh te Kohen Gadol masal liyafeh, shu gadol batorah, ve'yodaya shiyesh limsor yafeh. So who are we talking about? The Kohen Gadol is usually a Tamir Hakam. And therefore he knows the halakha. And therefore you could assume the Kohen Gadol is going to follow the halakha and he's going to give it over. Yafeh. Ve'od, he gives another answer. Kevan shekol kavod keuna hu shelo. Since all the kavod of the keuna belongs to him, all the glory. Masal le'yafeh agav habibut she'oved ba. Which is the endearment that he has to serve in the Beit HaMikdash and do all this avodah. So we don't suspect he's doing anything wrong. He's going to want to do it the right way. So that's the way Tosafot understands that we don't suspect the Kohen Gadol for not giving it over. Yafeh, yafeh. Now, look at Rashi. Ubevad shim serena lesibur. The sof sof ma'avodat siburi. Which means, bottom line, it's still a service that's done for the sibur. Which means, even though we call it avodat yahid, because it's the Kohen's job to take it out, doesn't, let's say, atone for the Sibur. But bottom line, it's Avodah that he's serving the Sibur. So it's got to come from the Sibur. Kach nir'eh be'inai. Va'ani sha'amati. Then Rashi brings a different interpretation. Avodat Yahid. You know what Avodat Yahid means? Mikra parasha. Reading the parasha on Kippur. Which is the Kohen would read from the Sefer Torah. Detnam ematnitin. Kore be'itztalit lavan mishelo. Says he would wear a white garment from his own. So therefore, Avodah Yahid means the mother that made the ketoret, the Kohen can wear it during the reading of Sefer Torah. V'kashali begaveh, telot ranatam avachim sil nsibur. He says, I don't like that answer. Because later on, it doesn't say that he has to give that ketoret over to the sibur. Which is mashma, he's wearing a totally different item, nothing to do with Bigdeh Kodesh. So therefore, Rashi opts for his first interpretation, that Avodah Yahid means to take out the Mahta from the Kodesh Kodeshim. Now I saw an interesting interpretation of why would the mothers of the Kohanim specifically make the Ketonet. What was their intent? So I saw an explanation like this. It is said by the Ben Ishchai in Ben Yoyada. He says that in Masechet Makot on Daf Yud Aleph in the Mishnah, it says that when the people, whether it be a murderer that would kill Bishogig, so he would go to Eid Miklat. So the mothers of the Kohanim used to go to the cities of refuge and used to give gifts to the inmates in order to bribe them so they shouldn't pray that their sons should die. Because their sentence, or their freedom I should say, hinges on the Kohen Gadol's death. So therefore, it would be only logical that the inmates in the Eid Miklat would be praying for the Kohen Gadol to die. So the mothers of the Kohanim would go and give them gifts so they should not pray. Now, why is the Kohen guilty? So the Mefashim explained, because if somebody murdered Bishogeg, the Kohen had the ability to atone for it. Which means, in his ability to pray and mechaper, he had the ability to stop these murders, even though they were Bishogeg, unintentional, not to happen. So if they happened, that means the Kohen wasn't doing his job. So the Ben Ishchai says that the ketonet, as we know, all the garments of the Kohanim, they atone for different averot. So it says the ketonet of the Kohen atones for shefichut damim, atones for murder. So therefore, the mothers of the Kohanim, they didn't want their children to have to go to Eid Miklat. And therefore, they're going to be prayed for to die. So they made them specifically a ketoret that's mechaper on shefichut damim, in order that murder is even unintentional, will not happen in Klal Yisrael, and therefore their children will be spared from the prayers. So that's the reason why specifically they made the ketoret, in order, like I said, to spare their children from going to the Eir Miklat. Comes the Gemara and continues. Gemara says, Amru alav al Rabbi Ishmael ben Pavi. There was a Kohen called Rabbi Ishmael ben Pavi. Sha'astalu emo ketonet shel mea maneh. His mother made him a ketonet, it was very expensive. 100 maneh. 100 maneh, so that would be 100,000 zuz. Velovsha, and he wore it. Ve'oved ba avodat yahid, and he did avodat yahid with it, meaning he took out the mahta, umasla la sibur, and of course he followed halacha, he gave it to the sibur, so therefore it was permissible. Amru alav Rabbi Elazar ben Harsom. There was another Kohen Gadol called Rabbi Elazar ben Harsom. Sha'asta lo emo ketonet mishte ribo. A ketonet that was from shte ribo, 2 times 10,000, means 20,000 maneh, which would be 2,000,000 zuz. Velo inihu echav kohanim lelovsha. But his brothers, the Kohanim, did not let him wear it. Mepenishin and e ke'arum. It was such fine linen that it was like see-through. So therefore you could see his skin through it almost. So therefore they didn't allow him to wear it. Is it possible to see through the garment of the Kohen Gadol? The ketonet v'amar mor, we learned, chutin kaful shisha. We learned that it was six strings woven in the clothes, which it was 6 layers. How could you see through 6 layers? So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye kehamra bimazga. It would be like wine in a thick glass. Even though the glass is thick, you can still see the wine through it. Because even though it was a thick weave, still it was such a fine weave that you were able to see the Kohen's nakedness through it. So therefore, it was like a see-through item. So therefore, the Kohen did not allow him to wear it. Okay, so that's the story of Rashi. Rashi says, Mishter Bo Maneh. That's right, that's a 20,000 maneh, which would be 2,000,000 zuz. Each maneh is 1,000 zuz. Ha amar mor chutin shel bigde keuna kaful shisha. We know that in Masechet Shekalim as well. Was kaful shisha, was made from 6 strings. So the Gemara says, kahamra b'mazga, kiyayin hanedim mechutz tekli zikuchit. Like wine that's seen in a glass, v'afal pisha zikuchit ava. Even though the glass is thick. Kach haya pishtan mushav. The pishtan that the Kohen wore was, mushav is like shiny or very bright. V'nedim besaro metocha. And you're able to see his flesh through it. Comes the Gemara and continues. Now we should just point out one issue over here. The question that they have over here is the Bet Meir asks this question. The Bet Meir says we learned that the clothes of Ben Arbaim have to be less expensive than the ones in the morning. Now these Kohanim over here, their mothers made for them a ketonet. And the ketonet was very, very expensive. And they did it for Avodat Yahid. So the Bet Meir says, what are you talking about? It seems that these clothes were even more expensive than the ones that were worn in the morning. So he wants to know, how did the Kohanim allow them? Even if you want to say it's the Ketahidah, how come the Kohanim allowed them to go against this Hanakha? So the Me'iri explains that these ma'asim were talking about Bechod Yemot Hashana. This was not on Kippur. This was all year round when they did Avodah Yahid. They would wear the ketonet of their mothers. Now, but Rashi's learning was on Kippur. Says Ubedat Rashi Katav Chazon Ish Sarich Lomar Shegam Beshel Shachrit Hosik Meshelo. You have to say in Shachrit, we learned in the Mishnah the Kohen can add from his own money. So the Kohen must have added from his own money to upgrade the Shachrit ones, in order to make them more expensive than the ones that they were in Arbaim. Even though their mothers gave them a very expensive ketonet, still they worked it out. Okay, comes the Gemara and continues. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita. Ani ve'ashir ve'rasha. A poor man, a rich man, and rasha, a wicked man, ba'im ladin. They're going to come to the final judgment. Le'ani omrim lo. To the poor man, they say, mepene ma lo asakta b'Torah. They're going to ask him, how come you didn't study Torah? Im omer ani hayiti. If he's going to say, well, I was a poor man, v'tarud b'mizonotai, and I was preoccupied with my mizonot, with my panasa. Omrim lo. The judgment is going to tell him, klum ani hayita yoter mehillel. Were you poorer than Hillel? Amru alav al Hillel hazakeh, and they said a story about Hillel hazakeh. Shebichol yom vayom haya oseh umistaker betarpa'ik. Every day he would work, and he would make a meager wage of a tarpa'ik. That's one coin. Hetzio haya noten l'shomer betamidrash. Half of the money of his wages he would give to the shomer betamidrash. That was the guard that sat at the front of the betamidrash to get an entrance fee. And the other half was for his for his family, for his wife, for his children, etc. One day he did not make any money. And the guard at the Bet Midrash did not give him entry. So he climbed up the roof and he hung over the skylight. Kedesh yishma devrei Elohim Chayim, so he can hear the word of the living God. Mepi Shemayav Avtalion, from his rabbi Shemayav Avtalion. Amru, it is said, Oto ayom erev Shabbat haya. That day that this story happened was a Friday. V'tekufa Tevet. It was in the season of Tevet, which is the middle of the winter, or the dead of the winter. Hayta. V'yarad alav sheleg min hashamayim. And a great snow fell on him. When the morning came, Amar lo Shemayal Avtalion, Shemayat az Avtalion. Now it's Shabbat morning. Avtalion ahi, bechol yom habayit meir. All every day the Bet Midrash is usually light. Vayom afil. Today it's dark. Shem yom me'onanu. Maybe it's cloudy. Hitzitzu enehem. They looked up. Vera'u demut Adam ba'aruba. And they saw the image of a man on the skylight. Alu matzu alav rum shalosh amot chelig. They saw 3 amot of snow, which can be up to 6 feet of snow on top of Hillel. Parkuhu. So they took him out. Vinchitzuhu. And they bathed him. They washed him. Vesichu. And they put let's say oil on him. Veoshivu keneged ha-medora. And they put the fireplace on, and they put him next to the fireplace. Amru, they said, Ra'ui zeh lehalel alav et ha-Shabbat. You see, this man is worthy for us to desecrate the Shabbat in order to put him by the fire. Now, let's read Rashi first, and then we'll make some diyukim and derashot on this Gemara. Le'ani omrim, kilomar, im ba'u bedin shereh-ma'la lehayev aniyim. Which means, if Beit Din wanted to have claims against us and obligate us, al yedei Hillel, they can obligate us from Hillel, for the poor person. Va'ashirim, the rich people, al yedei Rabbi Elazar, v'terudei ha-yetzer, the people that have yetzerara, al yedei Yosef. Yesh petchon pe le-baal din le-chayibam, which means, Hillel and Rabbi Elazar and Yosef as-Sadiq, they give the Beit Din a good claim against different classes and different ways of people. Trapa'ik, Rashi. Sela Medina. Okay, that's the Sela. Shu Hatsi Dinar. That's a very small amount of money. Hatsi Dinar. Pirku Masui Asherig Ma'alav, right? They took the snow that was off of him. Now, on this piece of Gemara, there's a few things. First of all, the Iyun Yaakov says, why does it say, Tanu Rabbanan Ani Ve'ashir Ve'rasha? It puts the Ani first. So he says that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ohev Aniim, because God loves the Aniim. And therefore he puts them before the Rasha, because he doesn't want the Rasha to go in first, then the Betin is going to be angry. Then when the Ani goes in, already the Betin has a Midat Adin on them. So therefore they put the Ani first, so even though he'll get judged, but he'll get the lightest and the less strict of judgment. Now, the Maharsha asks, what did you need a Shomer HaPetach for? Which you had a guy guarding the Beit HaMidrash, charging entrance. So he says, because in the olden days the Batei Midrashot were in the fields, and therefore you needed protection. Or he says that the Gemara Berachot says that there was a time in history where they would not allow a student that was not Tocho Kevaro into the Beit HaMidrash. They wouldn't allow a, you know, somebody that wasn't serious, somebody that wasn't true through and throughout. They wouldn't let him into the Beit HaMidrash. So this Shomer HaPetach was the one in charge of making sure that only the sincere students enter the Beit HaMidrash. I once heard from one of the Baalei Musar, what does the Shomer HaPetach know about who's sincere or not? I mean, he's a bouncer. Well, he's not the Rosh Hashiva. So I saw one of the rabbis said that they would just put him in front of the Petach, and his job was to not allow anybody in the Beit HaMidrash. And whoever fought their way in and got in the Midrash anyway, you'd know that they must have been sincere. Which means like a person goes to school, they tell him, no school today. Well, right away, he runs home. He doesn't want to get caught. You know, that they might change their mind. But you have somebody that says, no school today, and he says, no, I want to go anyway, and he fights his way through. Then you know the student is sincere. Furthermore, the Ben Yoyada says that this Shomer HaPetach, the reason why he charged the Hefer Tzapa'ik in order to get in, because he was in charge of the maintenance, which is he paid for the you know, the upkeep of the Beit Midrash. So therefore that money went for that purpose. Now, the Hakamim over here learn a very interesting halakha from his Gemara, because it says he took half his wages and he gave them to the Shomer HaPetach. So the Likutei HaLakot brings down from here, you see, that even though we have a principle that says hamibazbez, al yibazbez yoter mihomesh, that a person should not spend more than 20% of his money to tzedakah or for the mitzvot. So here you see he spent more than 20%. He spent 50%, which is he made one coin. He gave half of it for the learning. So he writes that that's only lenyan tzedakah, that you don't give more than 20%. Aval lenyan tamud torah. No, but if for Talmud Torah you give even more, and the Hafetz Chaim explains in his Biur Halakha Tafresh Nun Vav, he says that even though the whole logic of not giving 20%, more than 20%, is they don't want you to become an ani, that's only talking about somebody that's rich, that by giving 20% will cause him to become an ani. But somebody that's an ani already, it doesn't matter. And in Leil's case, he was a poor man anyway, so giving the half a coin is not going to make him, you know, change his economic status. So therefore, he says, there was no problem for him to give that amount. Now, it says in the Gemara, that was Erev Shabbat, right? And it was in the middle of the winter, and the Maharsha is medayek from this Gemara, that it's mashma, that he was on the roof the whole Friday. Because they didn't notice, it says Friday, he couldn't make any money, so he climbed up on the roof, so it's, and they didn't notice him until the morning. So the Maharsha said, they should have noticed him Friday night, which is when it got dark early on Friday night, they should have said, oh, something's going on over here. How come they didn't recognize him until the following morning? So the Maharsha says that on Friday, when they didn't let him in, he went back to make money. Which means Hillel said, okay, maybe I still have time. So he tried to make more panasa. He didn't climb up the roof till Friday night. Once already he couldn't make panasa anymore, and he knew they're not going to let him in. So when it was dark, he climbed on the roof. And therefore, they couldn't recognize him at night. They didn't recognize him until the next morning. Now, what does it mean when they were Mehalel Shabbat for Hillel? They say, Ra'u zil halal avet Shabbat. What do you mean, Ra'u zil halal? This one's worthy. Isn't everybody worthy to Mehalel Shabbat? Pikuach nefesh. Which is, if somebody's, you know, his life is in danger, of course you can be Mehalel Shabbat. So the Hidah says, what they were saying like this, of course you have to save everybody's life. But after you save a guy's life, let's say the guy becomes an Asha. So retroactively you say, alright, we saved the guy's life for nothing. Look what happened, we ended up saving a Rasha. and therefore it was a waste. So they're saying, we know this man is going to be a tzaddik for the rest of his life. We know we're never going to regret for saving this man's life because we know who he is. Okay, now we go to the next piece. So that's the poor man. So a poor man's going to come along and say, hey listen, I couldn't study Torah. Were you poorer than Hillel? Hillel had much less than you, and still he made it his business to study Torah. From here you see a very important lesson. The claim is not a good claim. Because if somebody would tell us that this is the Shammai, we would answer back, one difference. I'm not Hillel. And the answer is that you see the level of the standard that they hold us by. Which means you are bound by the same level and the same rules as Hillel. To say I'm not Hillel is not an excuse. With your potential and your ability, you also could have rose to such a level. Therefore, it should give us a motivation to see, they're comparing us to Hillel, which is how much does the Beit Din hold of us that they could even compare us to such great people? Comes the Gemara and says, "Im Omer Ashir Hayiti." The person comes along with the opposite claim. Listen, I was very rich. V'tarud Hayiti b'nechasai, and I was preoccupied with my all my wealth. Omrim lo klum Ashir Hayita yotem Rabbi Elazar. Were you richer than Rabbi Elazar? And that's why the Gemara is bringing this whole piece here, because we're mentioning Rabbi Elazar. Amru alav Rabbi Elazar ben Harsom. That's the rabbi we mentioned above, that his mother made him a very expensive ketonet. He was a Kohen Gadol. Sheniach lo Abiv, his father left him an inheritance, 1,000 cities on dry land, uchnegdan, 1,000 sefinot bayam, and a fleet of 1,000 ships in the water, ובכל יום ויום, but every day, what did the Bilazar do? נוטל נוט של קמח על כתפו, he takes a little flask of flour over his shoulder, ומהלך מעיר לעיר וממדינה למדינה ללמוד תורה. That's it, he would just go from city to city, from place to place to study Torah. He was incognito. He didn't get involved in his wealth, he would go from place to place so nobody would recognize him, and he would just hide out and study Torah. פעם אחת, one day, Metzau Abadav. His servants saw him. He was in a certain city. So the servants saw him. Va'asu bo ingarya. And they told, listen, you live in the city, everybody's got to work. So they started to put some work on him. And some Mefarshim explained, no, they charged him tax. Amar la'en bevakasha mikem. He says, please, hani'uni ve'elech l'lmod Torah. Please, just let me go study Torah. Which is, they had no idea that he was their boss. He was the Bil Hazar, which means they're working for him. And they're charging him the tax and making him do the work. So he just pleaded with them, please, let me go study Torah. Amru lo, hayer Bil Hazar bin Harsom. In the life of our boss, Bil Hazar bin Harsom, she'en manihim otcha. We cannot leave you. Which means we have a job, we have to make sure we collect taxes from every single citizen. So they had no idea that it was him. Umiyamav. In his days, lo halach v'ra'a otan. He never went to see these people. We'll see what that means. Ela yoshev ve'osek b'torah kol hayom v'chol halayla. He just sat and learned the whole day. Look at that. She engarya avodat sara'ir. Which means they made him do work. V'avodat atzmo hayta. But this was his own work, which means he was the employer. V'hem ena makirim bo, but they didn't recognize him. V'sivurim shurim bo shvei ha'ayot, they just thought he was a regular citizen. Shelo shavodat adonai ha'aretz mutelet aleihem. Good. Now the Mefarshim explained on this the Me'iri that the greatness of Rabbi Elazar was he didn't say to them, "Hey, I'm Rabbi Elazar ben Harsom." So the Maharsha says, "Why not?" So he says a beautiful interpretation. He says because they wouldn't believe him. What do you mean you're Rabbi Elazar ben Harsom? You're the he looked very inconspicuous. So they would start arguing with him. And now he'd have to prove himself. He says all that would be bitul Torah. The whole conversation back with, he didn't want to waste any time from Torah. So therefore he just paid the tax and he got off. He didn't want to start debating with them and take time away from his learning. Right. And that's what it means. The Maharsha says that Shemiyamav lo halach v'ra'a otan, which means he never went to them, meaning to debate them. Whenever they would charge him the tax, He never went to them to start talking. He just paid it, or he did whatever work they told him to, and he went back to the study of Torah. Now, the Gemara says, Rasha omrim lo, mepenei ma lo asakta b'Torah. How come you didn't study Torah? Im amar na'e hayiti. If he comes along and says, I was very handsome, v'tarut b'yitzri, and I was preoccupied with my yetzirara, or tarut b'yitzro, right? He says he was preoccupied with his yetzirara. Omrim lo, klum na'e hayita mi Yosef. Were you more handsome than Yosef as-Siddiq? Amru alav al Yosef as-Siddiq. They say about Yosef, Bechol yom v'yom. Aita eshet Potifar mishdallato bedvarim. She would try to seduce him verbally. This is the wife of Potifar. Begadim shelav shalo shahrit, lo lav shalo arbit. The clothes that she wore in the morning, she would wear different clothes in the evening. Begadim shelav shalo arbit, and the clothes she wore in the evening, lo lav lo shahrit, which means she wore different clothes in shahrit. She kept on changing her clothes to try to seduce Yosef. Amra lo, she said to him, Hashmei Ali, listen to me. Would you listen to my seductions? Amar la, lav. He says, no way. Amra lo. So she says to him, Harini chovashtecha bebet asurim. Says, if you don't listen to me, I'm going to put you in prison. I'm going to tie you up. Amar la, Hashem atir asurim. He says, no, God unshackles the people that are tied up. Hareni kofefet komatcha. I'm going to give you so much affliction that I'm going to cause you to fall. I'm going to lower your stature. Hashem zokef kufuvim. Yosef answered, God straightens the people and makes them erect. Hareni mesamet einecha. Says, I'm going to blind you. Hashem pokeya avrim. Says, God gives opens the eyes of the blind. Natna lo elif kikre kesef. She gave him 1,000 silver talents. Lishmawa eleha, lishkav etzla, liyot ima. So he'll listen to her. To do what? Lishkav etzla, to lie next to her. Liyot ima, to be with her. Ve'lo ratza lishmawa eleha. Lishkav etzla be'olam hazeh. Which means to sleep, to lie down next to her, meaning in this world. Liyot ima. Nor did he want to be with her in Olam Abba, meaning he did not want to get punished on the account of her in Olam Abba. So that's why the double language, Lishkab ima liyot etzla, which means he did not want to be with her in this world, nor did he want to carry the punishment with him to the next world. Nimsa, Hillel mechayev et ha'aniyim, Rabbi Elazar ben Chasson mechayev et ha'ashirim, Yosef mechayev et ha'resha'im. Now, the Maharsha explains on this last story with Yosef. He says there's a mizmor in the Tehillim that we say every day. Hallelujah, halleli nafshi et Hashem. Hallel Hashem b'chayai. So the pasuk says, Ashre she'el Yaakov be'ezro, sibro al Adonai Elohav. So he explains that when Yaakov, is referring to when Yaakov Abinu came down to Egypt in order to get food, because there was a famine in Canaan. So Ashle She'el Yaakov Be'ezro, the God of Yaakov was with him, Sivro al Hashem Elohav, that he put his faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and God told him to go down to Mislayim to go get food. Then it says, Oseh Mishpat La'ashukim. That's referring to Yosef that was in the house of Potiphar. He was Ashuk, he was like held in captivity over there. And then it says, Yosef rose to power, and when Yosef rose to power in Egypt, what happened? Noten le'chem la'ravim. He was the one that gave the bread to the hungry people, because that was Yosef's Yosef's job. And then what does it say? Hashem matir asurim. That's what Yosef told Eshet Potifar. And then, of course, the pasuk refers to also that Hashem matir asurim poke avrim. And then the end of the pasuk says, Hashem ohev sadikim. Who is the sadiq? Yosef. Veshomer et gerim. Who is the ger? Yosef was a ger because he was living in a foreign place that he was not accustomed to. Furthermore, I once heard from Hakam Baruch Alav Shalom that he said it in Rasha in this Gemara. The pasuk says, Rabot machashavot belev ish, ba'atzat Adonai hitakum. So he said, Rabot machashavot belevish, that many people have a lot of ideas what they're going to say to the Beit Din in Shamayim after 120, how they're going to exonerate themselves in the study of Torah. I'll tell them I was too poor, or I'll tell them I was too rich, or I'll tell them I was too handsome. In the heart of man, everybody has a lot of ideas. But the answer of God is He takum, He rashetevot, Hillel Yosef el Azar. Which God's going to answer, He. Which means, if you say you're too poor, Hillel. If you say you're too handsome, Yosef. If you say you're too rich, Elazar. So the answer of God is going to be, He. Takum. And that is going to be a very strong argument. Now I'll just say one last derasha on this piece. The Maharsha brings down that Abraham Avinu sits or stands at the entrance of Gehinnom, and he doesn't let any Jew that has a Brit Milah get thrown into Gehinnom. However, if somebody had relations with a Aramit, with a Goya, so what happens at that moment, his foreskin covers up the Brit Milah, and therefore they don't recognize that he's Mahul. And that's what Yosef was saying. I don't want to be with her, the Olam Abba, meaning in Gehinnom, because if I go with her, then already Avraham's not going to recognize me, and then they're going to throw me into Gehinnom. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah does say, Kol ha'over avera achat, which is a person goes with a goya, harei kishura bo kekelev le'olam haba. She attaches to his soul like a dog. Which means she doesn't let go. So therefore, based on that, kishura kekelev, which means that sin clings on to the neshama forever. And that's why he said, I don't want to be with her. La'atid lavo. The Shem Shemuel writes on this piece, he says, Shekemo shematzinu bihuda, like we find by Yehuda, b'chet'o b'tamar, when he went with his daughter-in-law Tamar, שרמז הקדוש ברוך הוא למלאך הממונה על התאווה שביעו לידי כך. Of course, Yehuda, at that moment, the Mephashim explained, lost his free will. God dispatched a malach that was in charge of תאווה, passion, and he caused Yehuda to go with Tamar. כמו כן היה ביוסף. And God did that to Yosef as well, that he gave him a tremendous amount of desire, in order they should overcome the malach and be victorious. Says when he was refraining from the sin, he saw the image of his father. Just because Yaakov also beat the malach. Yaakov beat the malach of Esav. So therefore, when Yaakov was able to beat the Malach, that gave his son Yosef also the ability to overcome the Malach. So each one overcame their own Malach. Yaakov overcame the Malach of Esav, but Yosef had to overcome the Malach of Tava. So he says, according to this, we can understand the Gemara. He says, "Lechaora yesh letmawa, v'chi yefshad lasvot et kol ha'olam Yosef ha-Sadiq?" Like we asked, well, you're going to compare now to Yosef ha-Sadiq? When the handsome guy comes along, how come you didn't learn Torah? Well, I was too handsome, I was involved, preoccupied with my yesod ha'ra. Oh, are you better than Yosef HaSadiq? So the Gemara, so he says, V'im nomar, shedavar zeh yadavar kan, v'lachen nedrash mikol adam. Now if you're going to tell me, well, everybody can overcome it, so why are you comparing it to Yosef? You should have just said, everybody has the ability, which is why did they claim against this guy to Yosef HaSadiq? אך לפי האמור שיוסף הוא צריך לגבור על כוחו של מלאך, אם כן נשירו של יוסף וצדקתו למול נשירות של מלאך, שווה לנשירו של אדם פשוט עומד בפני נשירו, לא כוחו של מלאך. Which means, Yosef, his greatness was he had to overcome a מלאך that was going against him. Now, a regular guy doesn't have this מלאך. So therefore, Yosef's test with the מלאך is equivalent to a regular guy without the מלאך of תאווה going after him. Therefore, the Shem Shmuel says they can compare us to Yosef. Yosef was able to overcome a malach of passion, that's a supernatural force, and still he was able to overcome it. So if he was able to overcome a malach that was dispatched specifically to test him, come on, you, then God doesn't give us that big of a test, because nobody would be able to overcome the malach. If he was able to overcome that supernatural, at least we're obligated to overcome our natural desires not to go after these enyanim. Now there's a Gemara in Kiddushin and in other places, in Masechet Shabbat as well, we had it, where it seems that they're going to ask a person some questions when he goes up to Shamayim. So it says, one of the first questions they're going to ask is, Kavata Itim La Torah. Bepene lo asakta batura. Sorry, Masechet Sanhedrin. It says that's the first judgment. Tehilat Dino Shel Adam is going to be on Talmud Torah. So the Tosfot asks that we learned in Masechet Shabbat that the first question they're going to ask is Nasata v'natata be'emunah. Then they're going to ask Kavata Itim La Torah. So he's make up your mind. You just said that the punishment is on Torah. So the Mefarshim explain that it's true. When it comes to the punishment is going to be on Torah. But the first question is going to be Nasata v'natata be'emunah. She's just doing yanim. In the questionnaire form, it's going to be, did you act honestly in business? But the punishment, it says the sheet poter ma'im neshit medon. One that exempted himself from the obligation to study Torah, which is compared to ma'im neshit medon. That's going to be the first judgment against him. So I saw over here from the Gaon Mevilna, it brings down a Kol Eliyahu. The Gemara Shabbat over there quotes from Rish Lakish. The pasuk says, "V'haya emunat itecha chosin yeshuot chokhmat vada'at." The Gemara says on that pasuk, it's hinting to the six orders of the Mishnah. Emunot ze seder zera'im. The word emunot refers to seder zera'im, because I guess a farmer needs to have a lot of emunah when he goes out into his field and does all the work, and the majority of Zera'im talks about the laws of the field. Itecha, your times, ze seder mu'ed. Chosen, ze seder nashim. Strength refers to seder nashim, because a person, two things. A person needs a tremendous amount of strength not to go after the nashim. And we know the Achamim say that a person's strength goes to nashim, which means by having children, he gives his strength in order to zera, to have children. That's called chosin. Yeshuot, ze seder nesikin. Yeshuot, salvation, that refers to the laws of nesikin. Chokhmat, ze seder kadashim. Wisdom is kadashim. Vedahat, ze seder taharot. So he says, these six orders of the Mishnah, these over here are actually referring to the six questions that they're going to ask a person after he dies. Da'inu im lamad shisha sedre mishnah. Because the first question is nasata v'natata be'emunah. What's the question? Emunah. Emunah is referring to zera'im. She said, did you learn mishnayot zera'im? Then they're going to ask him the next question. Kabata itim la Torah. Itim is times. Times is seder mu'ed. And then they're going to say, Asakta b'periyah v'ribiyah, that's seder nashim. Sipita lishua, we said yeshuot is nezikin. Pilpalta b'chokhmah, chokhmah we said is kadashim. And then it says, hevanta davar mitok davar, that would be taharot, which is da'at. So therefore you see, it's no stira. The six questions are also questions of Torah. What was the first question? You said that they're getting judged on Torah first, but the first question they say, that's a business question. Gemara says, no, that's a Torah question as well. Which means all those six questions that the Gemara lists in order are actually claiming a person for each one of the Sedarim of the Mishnayot. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.